Mark, are you ready?
I'm ready to talk Stonehenge and building cool stuff and just hanging out with cool people.
Well, I have to say that today is National Multiple Personality Day.
Is that right?
It is. And I think that is actually a really good thing because they say that for multiple personalities, you either, one, want to get in touch with your own self, your own personality, so your personality is meeting your personality, or you want to appreciate that some people actually have multiple personalities. And I'm fascinated with national days. And Stonehenge, we're talking about that today, how we would build that today. You know what Stonehenge's biggest day of the year is?
The solstice is would be my answer to that.
The summer solstice.
It's, so it's the summer solstice.
Solstice. Yes, and it's like tens of thousands of people go there for a sunrise, which is like at, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the morning or some really early time. All these people converge upon it, and I think it's awesome. So I'm excited to talk to Paul DeMeo and Carly Eisenberg about, like, what tools they would use.
Yeah, like, how would they recreate that today if they were trying to do it sort of old school and new school, excavators, whatever you want to talk about.
But before we get started, I want to give some props out to our sponsors because we couldn't do this. Talk about random things like Stonehenge without them. So I want to give a props to Hyde. Thank you guys for all that you do. And if you don't have a multi-tool in your kitchen drawer,
you're not a DIYer. You're something else. Get it in your tool pouch. We've got videos about it on our website. You can check it out. And Sherline. Sherline helps make the My Fix It Up Life podcast and radio show possible.
Yeah, so if you're at the store looking around for something to paint with, check them out.
Sherline.com, HyDeTools.com.
And let's get started. Let's talk about Stonehenge today.
Let's build it, brick it, stone it, make it happen.
Hot damn. So, Mark, I was thinking that you could build me something really awesome for Mother's Day this year. I think you have to get started right now.
I'm going to jot it down. What do you have in mind?
Well, you know, wedding rings are lovely, but other rings are also kind of cool, like Stonehenge.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Do you think you could build that for me?
Fair enough. All I need are, let's see, I need a Paul DeMeo.
Yes, from
standing by.
Building Wild. I think he might be actually able to, like, actually make that happen.
Yeah,
too.
National Geographic Channel, which obviously makes you completely qualified to recreate Stonehenge in our backyard.
Apparently, I had no idea that that's all I needed to do to recreate Stonehenge in the backyard there.
Yeah,
that
that's
really
it.
Is. That's all it. The qualifications you need. Like, you're used to working with lots of people, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and,
yes,
you know, organizing people together to build something in the wilderness. I think that you have all of those skills.
I think so. Well, like, at least we have the people. We have the people. Whether or not we have the skills, it's yet to be seen. You know, I sent over some information about it because I really don't know a whole lot about it. I've never been there.
Okay.
But it's always interested me, and I always figured I kind of know how I would do it.
Okay. So how would you do it? And sort of I want to focus in on that ring of stones that they have. And I listed them out, so it's on our website, too, if anybody wants to play along. But the first step is to dig the ditch that's about 320 feet in diameter, and it's 20 feet wide and about 5 feet deep. So how would we build that trench if we were doing it, like, tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we would use heavy equipment. I mean, it would be no problem to go in there with heavy equipment and excavators and dozers and do just that. I mean, look around at what we can, the way we can move earth and take down mountains and put mountains up. So that, I think that's how we would do that today.
Now, where in the United States of America, because you have probably built in almost every state in the Union, which state would have the soil that is most likely to cooperate with this project?
Yeah, Paul, let me add something to your credibility from being on the National Geographic Channel. Also, you're a geologist. So just feel free to make up any answer that you want.
He's a soil scientist.
What I would do is I would do it near a river. If I was near a river, that means the soil on that river has already been, like, a lot of stuff has been washed away. So, in other words, let's pick an area in Vermont along the Battenkill. 24 feet of topsoil. 24 feet of topsoil. That's a lot of topsoil. So you can dig down, and you're not going to really hit any bedrock until you get below that riverbed. You know, we could certainly do it out in the sands of Nevada and in the desert because it's sandy, but it may close in on you a little bit. So I would think in a valley where sediment has all gathered and it's deep enough that if I didn't have an excavator, I could go ahead and take some logs that I've carved out and kind of made my own shovel, and with 2,000 or 3,000 Extreme Makeover Home Edition volunteers, we could dig that ditch. Does that sound good, right?
That sounds really good. And you know what? They actually built Stonehenge near a river, too. I think that they sort of had that going for them.
Avon.
That sounds right.
Avon.
And I'm wearing the blue shirt. River. I'm wearing the Extreme Makeover color, too, so I can volunteer to help.
I'm also an Avon lady.
And the blue stone that's used to make that circle, correct?
Yes. It's blue stone and sarsen stone. I have no idea what sarsen stone is.
Sarsen is I shouldn't say rock hard, but super granite kind of wicked hard rock that they made the posts. I'm moving my hands up and down to show vertical.
I think that's how you dance as well.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are like the 30, 35-ton puppies that they dragged out of Wales.
Right. And I have a whole idea on how they went ahead and got those, you know, how they went ahead and stood them up, you know. Interesting is how do you get this one on top, you know?
Paul's simulating the Stonehenge construction with a DVD, I think, of Chef. And
yes. Book.
His own DVD, because Paul's a musician, and or CD, and all kinds of stuff. I love it when you pull stuff off your desk to recreate a Neolithic kind of structure. That's how you do it. Right.
That movie Chef was really good, too. Have you seen it?
Phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
Favreau's crazy.
Phenomenal movie.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't believe in the power of Twitter, you have to watch Chef, and then you will be a convert. You totally will. It's a true story.
Right. It is.
Yes. Chef is a documentary about Twitter.
Totally is, yeah. Okay, so, you know, we've dug out our trench, and what they use, I think they say, is antlers to actually dig it out when they were doing that work. And it's kind of unbelievable. So we're building this in Vermont now, which is great because that's where you went to college, Mark.
Yes.
So you're familiar with the whole area.
Yeah.
Building in Vermont. So when they put those stones on top of each other, they did mortise and tenon joints, but out of stone. How would you actually make that out of stone?
Well,
no one knows. Even the National Geographic Channel doesn't know.
So do you know how we start a fire, you know, when we make a bow and you go back and forth, and it heats the back scratcher up and it goes back and makes friction and goes down, right?
Yeah.
So if you took some grit of granite that was stronger and more dense than the stone itself, and you just kept going back and forth, you would slowly start to make as we see with our Native American Indians in making pottery and bowls to take maize and grind it down the time and time and time, you end up with this little curve. So I imagine they did something like that. Or they got out a Hilti, plugged it in, and... But I don't think they
did. I think they did. They got the Hilti out. But one thing that I've learned about Stonehenge is that when they were creating it, they were also, it's in a time period when they were creating new methods for making pottery. So perhaps what your theory is spot on.
Again, well, because I'm a potterist, I'm also able to know a little bit about not just the stones, but the pottery itself.
I want to know what you don't know how to do, because you, obviously, you're a musician. You are a soil scientist, and
yeah.
you're clearly a firefighter because I see that you have your equipment ready to go.
In the background,
I'm seeing
our Google Hangout here.
Yeah, so you're good in an emergency.
There is an ocean of things that I don't know, and there's another ocean of things that I know that are useless to most anyone. So I really don't know. I'm just figuring, you know, I'm trying to use logic on, you know, this is the one that still amazes me. How do they get that stone on top? I mean, this one lifting up, you could go ahead and dig a trench here, and with leverage, you could push that up, and it would drop into place. Right?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Now, this one.
The one on top.
The one on top. How do you get that on top? You're certainly not doing it with logs.
Well, you know what?
It's like what you might do is, like, pile stuff up gradually. Like, you would – I don't have as many things as you do. But, like, you would take –
We're digging out office
a dictionary,
supplies.
Right?
And then you take a board, and you just start stacking stuff up, and gradually get to that level. And then some really super strong guys or gals would just like push it on, or the aliens did it.
Yeah, the alien things. I got to think they have better things to do with their time.
Yeah, I'm just imagining,
that's
though.
That's
like,
a good thought.
But the aliens, they might be doing stuff on our planet just for, like, kicks and giggles. Like, they're like, let's mess with them and do this nonsense and see how many millions of years it takes for them to figure this one out.
Good point. That could be that,
totally,
you know.
Totally plausible, Paul.
If we go the whole alien route, boom. A bunch of aliens came down and, you know, they did it.
Zapped it up, no problem. And it's Men in Black now. Now we have to change it to Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith.
Because they did use those, like they used the holes in the ground to put remains of people. So maybe the aliens came, there was a giant battle, and then they trenched it out, and they threw all the people in there, and they built these stones and said, I will conquer your world.
I might have stopped listening in there, Paul, in the 2 minutes.
Right.
So the Hilti, that's a really good tip.
Can we talk about building wild?
Very, very dark. And very dark with the whole burying of people. And that's something we still do today. So that's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. We don't do a lot of that in Vermont. And obviously when people get tired of building wild, you just throw them in the hole.
That's right. Okay.
Nicely played. We'll let that go. We'll let that go.
I think that's awesome.
That might work on that in editing.
Okay, so let's talk about building wild, though, for a minute. Have you built anything as crazy as... Oh, wait, sorry.
Can I compliment Teresa on that? Because I really do believe that's how they got that stone up. They build up soil. Soil, 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 soil. This stone's already standing. Then you're able to roll this other stone on because now you're flush with the top of that stone. You dig out your mortise and your channing, and you roll up and you put this other stone here. Now, because there's that river nearby, maybe we're able to funnel water to then blow all that soil away that we put there, and we're left with this.
Well, okay, so
That's so smart. I didn't even think about the river part. That's really good.
And you're a woodworker guy, right? So,
yes.
So the mortise and tenons, I'm doing the vertical hand thing again. There are tenons on the posts on the sarsen stones. And then, so Stonehenge is in a circle. I'm making a circle motion. There are also, it's like highway barriers. There's a mortise on one side of the horizontal stone and a tenon on the other. So they milled these in a circle to join them all together. I couldn't do that with every laser level and construction master calculator on the planet. They did it with a pile of rocks.
You just use a CNC machine, honey.
Yeah. Sorry.
Aliens.
Paul, I think we're going to have you back to talk about building wild and whatever's next for you.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Love and envy those projects and that show and that you get to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So much fun. I hope people can catch it on the National Geographic channel.
Yes.
Yes.
And follow Paul on Twitter because we totally do.
Oh, you got to.
Thanks.
You have to.
You guys are very good. Very good with that too, by the way.
Thank you.
We watched the movie Chef. That's how we figured it all out. I mean,
duh, that's easy.
Hello?
I did too, and all I'm doing is eating more.
Okay, so last thing, and then I'll leave you with this. Our son, who's 6 years old, eats grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yes.
There's a scene in there where Jon Favreau makes a grilled cheese sandwich for his son, and the son says, "Dad, I just want a grilled cheese sandwich." And he says, "Oh, no, you don't." And he goes through a whole thing. I can't go near my stove without reliving that entire scene of him making the grilled cheese sandwich. It was both an art form of filmmaking and a celebration of cheese. It's fantastic.
Yes, it is. And because I'm a huge, huge cheese fan, as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, we had a big cheese night here at the house where we had 14 people. Everyone had a different country to bring two cheeses from, and then a wine pairing that went along with that. Another time, but yes, the cheese. You know, I spent a summer making grilled cheese sandwiches following the Grateful Dead around in, I think, 1982. And my grilled cheeses looked nothing like that. We were using, I believe, Velveeta and Wonder Bread. But yeah, you know, as in anything, and you guys know, you're craftsmen, you know, you take time and you take a lot of effort into what you do, and you want it to be the best. So it's important to find the hot part of that, you know, of that skillet to make sure that's beautiful toasted bread there with the gruyere on top and maybe mixed with who knows. But I'm telling you, yeah, I'm very hungry now.
Paul, it's
14 kinds of cheese party.
We gotta go. We have a whole thing that we do.
I'll save my question about what do you drink with 14 cheeses, though.
Paul, next time, I hope.
Next time.
Yeah, you're inebriated at the end of the evening. I'll leave you with that.
I'm drunk now.
Oh, that's so good.
Check him out at pauldemeo.com.
Yes. Watch Building Wild.
National Geographic Channel. Paul, thank you.
Thank you so much. Mark,
thanks so much. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
Oh, he went by.
Oh.
So, Mark, I'm thinking the Hilti might be the way to go to get those mortise and tenon joints going on. But what kind of Hilti would you pick, though?
Well, what Paul was talking about was a demolition hammer or chipping
okay.
hammer. So your Hilti makes 15,000 million different kinds of power tools.
That's a lot. How do they manufacture that many?
It's difficult.
Yeah, okay.
The one he was referring to, though, would be like a chipping hammer. Also, there are different kinds of those, but a 15 or 20 pound chipping, like a jackhammer.
I think you should write a blog about it.
I would.
And I think you should do that exercise every day.
This is called my loose face character. Carrie Eisenberg, who we have just met.
I think that you might be my first blacksmith, actually, that I've ever met really in person. Like, I've seen people work and everything, but I don't know if I've ever had a relationship with a blacksmith, and I really like to start right now. How are you?
I'm fabulous, and blacksmiths are awesome, so I'm glad I can, you know, get you in there.
Nice.
Well, and the work that you create is like absolutely amazing. We've been on your website a lot and looking at all the cool stuff that you are creating out of your shop. And I'm especially fascinated by the red cloak stuff that you're doing.
Yeah.
But before we were talking Stonehenge today. Before
right.
we start like tapping into your expertise and your knowledge about creating awesomeness, I want to talk about Ellen's Design Challenge just for a brief moment because our friend Jeff Devlin was your partner, and I kind of want to know what it was like working with him in that kind of high-pressure situation.
Jeff was my rock, my Stonehenge.
nicely played. You in a free mug. Holding up my Fix It Up Life coffee mug that only two of exist. But anyway, you can have this one. I'll wash it.
No, leave it dirty. It's okay. I'm a blacksmith.
Nice.
it was incredible working with Jeff. He went with whatever I asked him to do. Obviously, he's not really done any metal work before, but, you know, I threw him in front of a 3,000-degree forge and said, you know, pick up this 80-pound piece of steel and then bend it. And He actually did it. I don't know why, but he did.
Did he keep his eyebrows and everything intact?
He does have a permanent scar. I left my mark on him.
Did you just slap the iron to him like a calf at the corral?
You marked him.
Yeah. By the way, I know everything about blacksmithing, so I know you can tell by my use of jargon.
I don't think you actually really do. But we'll go with that. Yes, my husband is an expert blacksmith.
Nice.
Yeah. Not really. Not so much.
Yet, in the background behind you, which is beautiful pine paneling, and you've got a little art shelf doohickey thing up there with box
joints. That was actually
joints.
One of the first wood pieces I ever built.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
I absolutely love it because it's like the staggered heights and everything.
Oh, it's got box joints too.
Love
it
the
does.
Box joint. Mm-hmm. Love the box joint. So you cut that on a table saw?
Absolutely.
With a cross-cut sled?
I believe I built a jig that you actually cranked it every time you cut a joint so everything was perfectly spaced.
Nice. Very good.
Wow.
Very good. I totally have 5 of those.
You have no idea what to do with the rest of them?
I've seen box joints. I've never cut one. I've seen them, but I've seen them cut on cross-cut sleds. So they sit, a cross-cut sled is a whole thing for your table saw, and there's just a little notch in it, and you cut one joint and keep moving it over, moving it over. Are we talking about the same thing?
Absolutely.
Okay,
but
yes.
Mine was just a little bit more high-tech.
I know what you're talking about. I do know what you're talking about. There's a whole thing that is like for a cabinet-style table saw that's all metal and that stuff. I'm talking about something you'd make at home out of plywood and a couple pieces of red oak.
Definitely more DIY than...
If you're a DIYer with a cross-cut sled, you
you're
need
pretty
a different
cool.
name.
Yeah.
For what,
what would you be called? A mega-awesome DIYer?
I don't know.
Super mega.
Yeah. Super mega awesome. So, Carly, you went to RISD, right?
I did.
Which is kind of, and everybody's gone there, I sort of am a little jealous of. But then also, too, I read that you had only been blacksmithing for like 9 months before you.
Yeah, about 9.5, 10 months when we went to filming.
How impressive that is that, you know, I think that speaks to the true nature of your craftsmanship and your artistry and your skills and your desire to, like, do all that stuff, to be able to go and be seen by millions of people on TV making furniture and stuff. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, my favorite part was actually episode 1 when they gave us the box and told us we could use materials in it. I looked in it and I was like, I've never worked with tubing before. I have no idea what I'm doing. They made it look like I knew what I was doing, but I really just started hitting stuff.
Okay, so I watched that one, Carly, and I immediately, once I saw what you and Jeff were doing, I started to text Jeff. And I went back and looked at those when I texted him at a different time, and I realized that each message was about 3/4 profanity because I was freaking out at what you guys were doing. That project, I'm serious. I'm not making that up. That was great.
Well, can we talk about Stonehenge? I want to get back to it.
Oh, right, because
obviously... we're talking about Stonehenge today. And, you know, I proposed to my husband that he should create such a thing for me for Mother's Day this year because, you know, every woman, you know, flowers and, you know, bath beads or whatever. How about, like, making some actual Stonehenge? That would rock.
That's practical, too.
Literally,
we're gonna use it. We're gonna use
a garden in the middle of it. It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, it should have a fountain, and it should have, like, fire, water and fire and stuff.
Can you help me with the astronomy part of it?
Okay, so we've been talking about, you know, how to dig the ditch, how to, you know, do the mortise and tenon joints out of stone that they actually were able to create. And I'm curious because you work with all kinds of pretty super awesome tools. Like, how would you do mortise and tenon in stone?
I mean, I've got to go for the big chunk of it, you know, getting it off, cleaning it away. You got to go with jackhammer, you know, just getting that raw material out. But as soon as you get close to it, you've got to really start going a little smoother. And you can do everything from, you know, grinders with flat wheels on them But honestly, they kind of got it right back then. You really got to go in with a hand chisel when you get to the super details. There's nothing that beats it.
It sounds like it would take a while.
I think it took them like a whole week to do
that. A whole week.
Yeah, they didn't even get like Saturday off. I think they had to work straight through.
Probably. I mean, yeah. It was probably like that. Like Ellen's design challenge. You guys had to just bust stuff out. It's same there. I mean,
they
did have to take one day off to sacrifice the stag on the altar that they built on the world's oldest, most accurate clock.
And then that's what they used to actually dig the ditches with the antlers.
Yes.
Totally that seems practical.
It. Well, there's like, and then I think about the antlers and like how long that would take. And then I think about the antler I would use. Have you seen those? Because like those faux heads of animals are really kind of in the last few years.
Oh, you just need like on their 5-point buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like you would have to paint it like a turquoise or something pretty for me in order for me to be like out there digging in a field all day long. Like we'd have to bedazzle it, make it like. The handle be.
I'm losing like a lot of interest.
You
in
are.
This whole thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Just so you know.
All right. Well, let's go back to the stones though, because you know they use sarsen stone and blue stone. Like if we had our picks and we were talking with Paul DeMeo about where we should actually create Stonehenge in this country.
Yeah, like if you could pick anywhere.
Yeah.
Around these United
Montana,
States.
Montana, North yeah. Dakota. There's not much.
Maybe we'll ask Jeff Devlin. What does he think? Hi, Jeff Devlin. How are you?
Well, hello, Teresa. How are you? Hey, what's up, Mark?
Excuse me, sir. This is private call.
Yeah, whatever. What's up, Kylie?
Hi.
Jeff Devlin, Ellen's Design Challenge, DIY Network. You stopped by to say hello to your compatriot in design build arms.
I haven't talked to him in like 13 whole hours.
Yeah. I think it was 12 hours.
You guys, you really need to stay better connected. I mean, I'm sure that you've had a couple of meals since then.
No, not me.
Give us, okay.
I ran out of gummy bears.
Oh man, that's bad. That's bad. Okay, and I like to. I'm the dark guy here. I want the grit. I want all the grinder wheel slag, all that stuff. So Ellen's Design Challenge. Everybody's all happy. We're all, oh, let's achieve. I want to know the darkest moment when you two were just like freaking out. Oh my God, we can't finish. You know where? When did that happen? Because it happens to everybody.
Dining table.
Yeah, I mean you can tell them. Harley had a tendency to change the design sometimes.
I don't know anyone like
air.
That.
Twice, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Three or four. Whatever. Hey, it's all numbers.
Who's counting?
Right.
Numbers are only relevant when you're not using them.
Yeah, I will say this. I'm sort of amazed. Like I've been sort of slowly worked into the process of television, and that's been good for me. Carly was thrown to the wolves. Like, all of those designers, all six of them, were thrown into a pit with eight cameras saying, do it really quick. Nobody likes to do furniture design under those conditions. I don't know anybody that really thrives in that, and I got to give her credit. One, she's younger. Me, I would have freaked out and pissed my pants. there were moments, but again, I think it's one of those things where, you got to give her credit. And, and now she's wearing, wait, what do you got going on there in the ears this time? Before it was bones in the ear. Now she's taking it back a little bit.
She told me you didn't like the bone.
I told her, I said, she told me I need to scare back or get like the big, huge hoops.
You should have worn the bones for Stonehenge Day.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be thinking about these things, Carly.
I know.
If you're going to move forward in this business, you need to be thinking about the details.
Your public persona.
I can't have this on my
really?
Show. I'm sorry.
How embarrassing.
Carly, we're going to have to say goodbye to you.
Well, I have,
no, we're not. I'm kidding.
I have to say that, like, everybody.
Flashbacks.
Okay, I have to know one thing. I don't remember what this woman's name is. She was one of the designers. And, everyone came across really well, except for her. She had frowny face all the time.
She, you know what? Again, television is a fickle thing. They can pit you. They can take only the moments where you're upset or have the sad face. For me, every time I shoot a show, it's always me going, woo! That's the only thing that makes it. In her case, you know, look, there's a struggle to try to get certain things done in the time frame. And while people say, yes, we can handle the pressure, it's not always easy. And you're thrown, you know, look, you're working with a new carpenter. You don't always think the same. I mean, I don't know. I seriously, and I'm guessing you're talking about Leslie. Yeah. Leslie is a sweet, very talented lady that I'm impressed with what she does, but they kind of, you know, they sort of targeted her a little bit.
That's what it kind of looked like, because I didn't really feel like she could have that much of a frowny face all the time. And you do say woo after everything.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Right, Carly?
Woo!
Let's have eggs for breakfast. Woo!
Followed up by some type of awkward hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait, we got a hug now. Oh, I'm sweating bullets in here. Okay, so
I have to ask Jeff about Stonehenge. I want to know how he
I have no idea. I don't even know what you're talking
question.
About.
I'm putting you in
Answer
the
three.
Wilderness in Vermont, and you have to make a mortise and tenon joint with stone. What tool would you grab?
That weigh 30 tons.
Yes.
What tool would I grab?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing like a rock hammer, my guess.
Yeah. That's
Keep
how you break out of
the Sarsen stone's actually soapstone, so it's pretty soft.
Yeah, I have no idea what she's talking about. It's like this, when she starts talking about metal, I just don't know. She's doing this and I don't understand any of it.
Are you wearing a hoodie sweatshirt, Jeff?
I am, I'm rocking a hoodie. Because I'm a hoodlum by heart,
nice.
You know?
Well, also because you're scarred over 70% of your body from being next to the
You know what?
To the
Can
four
you still
forge.
See it? It's still right there. The stuff she made me do. It's like, here, take this.
Right
thing.
There.
Yeah.
Nice.
So does Carly actually mark everybody that she works with? Is that why she has a one-woman forge?
Yeah. And you'd be surprised every time I'd be like, well, I'll help. And she's like, no, Jeff, don't touch that.
Don't.
Just stand there and look pretty, dude, and twist it when I tell you to look, twist it.
Nice.
He's good at standing there and looking pretty.
Well, thank
you.
Jeff,
how
nut jobbed out were you when you walked into that shop for the first time and
saw
all that you lose it?
Jet, Festool, Craig, Stanley, oh my gosh. It was like a dream come true. I mean, it was really amazing.
Yeah.
So the next show that Carly is involved in, she's going to walk on set and she's going to say, where's all the stuff?
Oh, yeah, Carly.
And
no.
Jeff. Yeah. Where's Jeff?
Well, I need Jeff and I need all these. Where are all these? Wait, I don't
understand.
You're
going to walk on to some other TV. You'll get a TV show. You'll walk on and it will be a train wreck.
Wait,
the guy with the broken table saw. What?
The wood shop, yes, it had all this beautiful stuff. You go out to our little alley. I don't know if you noticed, but every time we were forging, we were in this little alley on the side of the building. That's probably what it's going to be like. Forge, power hammer, post vice, done.
Nice. So, Carly, what part of the country are you from?
I'm in North Carolina.
Awesome.
Now, can you go, if I wanted to, like, watch you create these, like, storybook kind of creations that you do there that
You're
I'm
doing
fixated
an Alice
on.
In Wonderland.
And that red chair couch that
Red Moon Rising.
Gorgeous. I want that.
She won't sell it to me. I'm trying to get it like half price or something like that. She won't sell it to me.
I am
because you're cheap.
Well, I am. I'm just saying, like, you know me. Come on, family discount or something.
God, Devlin. Yeah. You know her mortgage comes every month just like yours does, right? You get the whole thing.
Well, I just pay mine, like, a final notice. That's when you pay it. So you can sneak out a month and a half.
Is that why I haven't got my payment for the tables yet?
Yeah, about that. That check's going to come. Wait till the second check comes.
But then
that
you have to say
good
woo.
One.
That check's going to come. Woo!
Yeah. I just send a Super Bowl is my first check. I write something on a Super Bowl, throw it in priority mail, and say I'll get
it on a napkin
later. Yeah.
No, but actually, I'm actually really excited because after meeting Carly, my mind sort of started thinking because I wasn't thinking metal. I thought it was. I'm like, you can't do that with metal. You can't do that with steel. And she sort of opened up my eyes. So we're gonna partner up, and I'm gonna bring her in on a couple of projects that I have, as well as some of the shows that I'll be working on and get her building stuff and getting the collaboration, because we did get along pretty well, you know,
it,
right?
It totally
sometimes.
Yeah, it totally showed. No, you guys, even though, like you were saying, Jeff, TV is selective and fickle and they look for the, you know, the frowny face or whatever. It was clear that you guys liked each other and got along and
right.
did good work too.
Well, here, let's do this. Here, I'll interview Carly now. So Carly, what was your experience like working with the famed carpenter Jeff Devlin? Was it, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, are we talking 10? And if you say anything less than 10, I know where you live.
I know you know where I live. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm going to have to go with a 9.75. There was a time that I was more drama than his daughter.
Okay. There was a little buildup. There's a reason why that was said.
No, we weren't.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wasn't there something about, like, magic pencils or something in that whole exchange? No?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
The funny thing is I'll say stuff, and I have no idea what I said. And I don't even remember it until I see it. We basically, that whole thing was such a whirlwind that you look back on it and you watch it, you're, like, kind of experiencing and be like, oh, yeah, I think I blessed the pencil, something like that.
I mean, there.
I'm not Catholic, so what's that?
I was gonna say there was points that, you know, didn't get shown where I was riding around on your back. We were mm-hmm. dancing around behind David and Leslie when they were fighting.
Yeah, we
all
were,
the fun stuff.
Yeah,
photobombing their argument.
Oh, totally. We were having probably way too much fun. I mean, I honestly feel as though it was almost too easy. It was one of those things where it was like, you got to be kidding me. This is.
I wouldn't call it too easy.
Well, it was for me. I'm like, I'm not winning $100,000.
Cheetos.
Yeah.
So
that is so cool.
What was the hardest project to go from, Carly, however you design it, piece of paper or iPad or whatever, from piece of paper to nailed together?
Definitely the dining table base, because we actually, the design I had originally done, we just didn't have the right setup for it, so I changed it. And we didn't have the right to set up for that one. So we said, don't laugh at me, Jeffrey.
You guys
had
are like the cutest ever. Propping
up the table. It was absolutely a mess. And then we forgot about the chairs because I picked the grandma chair. Brain fart, I don't know. I like the table. Hate the chairs.
Yeah. Who uses salt and pepper anyway? If you saw the show, you know, look, you don't push the salt and pepper across into the middle. You keep it right near you. Eat
yeah.
food if you don't need salt and pepper, damn it.
You know, and gaps in tables are great because then you can put a puppet show on for, like, the grown-ups. Like, the kids have something to do and you have your friends over. And then they're like, oh, here's a little girl.
One thing Carly forgot to mention was that it's a pet-friendly table. So your scraps, you just push through the middle and go down that way. So it's easier for the animals.
I actually had a fan say that. They're like, I love this table for a family. I've got two dogs. You just push everything into the middle.
You know what you're talking about? This is obviously it right here. This is your infomercial table for the Jeff and Carly knife set. So you cut the chicken up or the piece of bread or whatever it is. And then when that segment's over, you know what I'm talking about. I saw you do it. And then you just take and scrape it to the middle, and
yep.
you get the tomato out and the 2x4 that you cut up. And then you go to the thing, and then you cut the magazine paper. I don't watch TV really
that much. This word comes to mind, vittles. That's not a word I use much, but I think that you would be creating vittles with all the stuff in the middle.
I don't use that enough to
you
know
don't use that enough?
Vittles.
That's
no?
not in the dictionary.
That's
I'm pretty
no.
sure.
I'm pretty sure Jeff and I talked
about I know what you're talking about.
The show. Yeah.
Women.
Well,
yeah. Women.
We have to like, you know, do that thing that
I'm
we
gonna,
don't like to do.
I'm going to spell it Carly Eisenberg. There are three W's. There's a period. Carleye. Eisenberg.
You weren't a cheerleader, were you?
No, Jesus, that was very bad.
That was
God,
horrible.
Brutal. You've got, it's like I, Eisenberg. I don't know. I've got issues.
There's a lot of consonants and no vowels.
I know.
What do you want?
It should just be Blacksmith Carly. I think that's hot. It could be a band.
It should just be Carly. Because it's like you could be like the new Madonna with no last name. Just Carly. Like Oprah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You should totally rock that.
Carly, you can come back sometimes when Jeff is busy and he won't be here, and we can talk about branding and, you know, some different projects and but things that you do. What kind of discount you, you may be willing to offer the My Fix It Up Life media brand.
But now we have to go build some Stonehenge.
At @Carly_IMF. You guys are awesome. Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
You so See much. You, Jeff. Really appreciate
Bye.
It, guys.
Yeah. Carly, I'll talk to you in 10 minutes.
Bye, Jeff.
See ya. I'm out.
Oh my God. You're insane, Mr. Jeff. Thank you for stopping by.
We're not recording you anymore.
Ah, sweet.
You're done.
Yeah, so you can swear your fucking head off.
Hey, you're Oh, it's Carly. Bye. You got a very important girl on the line. See you later.
See you guys.
Later.